So are the series we're doing this year, we've titled Potential Pitfalls, God's Instruction for Life's Personal Challenges. And each of us has personal challenges. In fact, we have a lot of personal challenges. We have weaknesses that can lead us to a slow growth in the Lord. We have weaknesses that can lead us into lukewarmness in our relationship with Him. And we have weaknesses that even lead us into sin. God gives us instruction in His Word that help us and teach us how to navigate this life and our walks with Him so that we can avoid those pitfalls. And there are plenty. Now, the definition of a pitfall is a hidden or unsuspected danger or difficulty. It is any trap or danger for the unwary. So it's not like this. I mean, some of them are really obvious, but a lot of them are not as obvious, or at least maybe they should be, but for some reason we can be oblivious to them or just kind of get sucked into them. So these traps can be hidden or camouflaged to us, and they may look innocent, but they can very easily ensnare us and grab a hold of us. So again, some of them are pretty obvious that we say, oh, that's a pitfall, I don't want to go there. And then others of us, just depending on what's going on in our lives and in our hearts, we can say, oh, that's a pitfall, I think I'll walk right into it. We all do that at times. But then there are those that are kind of like an animal trap where, you know, it's a trap, but it is a little bit camouflaged. And if you just picture an animal, we've all seen those movies or documentaries, you know, and the big hunk of meat, you know, is hanging over the trap or something, and the animal's circling it or walking or, you know, trying to get it because it's tempting it. It's alluring. And as soon as it goes for that bait, snap, it gets into that trap. And then there you go. And we can do the same thing where there's that temptation that we know is a temptation, but we just sniff around it. And then sometimes we just think we can grab a hold of it without getting entrapped, and we are in the pitfall. And there are other pitfalls that are kind of like quicksand. And I don't know why they call quicksand quicksand, because we all know, we've seen Tarzan. At least the Tarzan that was on TV when I was little. I don't even remember that guy's name. Tarzan, obviously, but you know. You know, there's the quicksand, and it's just this slow sinking. And that's a pitfall. So sometimes we may not even be aware. We'll just put our foot in there, and then we put our other foot, and we think we're fine, and we don't realize that we're slowly going down and going to get swallowed by this quicksand. Our overall theme verse for this year is from 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you as such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So there are temptations for the Christian, and they are common temptations. They're common to all of us, but God always makes a way of escape. So as we talk this year, we will teach and talk about common pitfalls that all Christian women are going to face from time to time, including those who are speaking. And then we're going to learn what the Bible says about them, how God sees them, and then what His Word instructs us to do, and how we can avoid the pitfall, or if we get in it, how can we get out of it. So tonight, we want to look at the first pitfall, and that to me is the most important one of all, because I believe we will either stand or fall depending on what we do with this. And that is the pitfall of neglecting the source. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we sang about and sang to tonight. He is the source. He is our source. In Him we live, we move, and we have our being. And He wants a relationship with us. Just think about that. That is just amazing. He wants a relationship with us. He is our creator, so He knows every single thing about us. If you turn to Psalm 139, we'll read some familiar verses just to help remind us how intimately He does know us. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand, or You know my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I can't grasp it. And flip over to verse 13. For You have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in Your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are also are Your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with You. I mean, that is awesome. An awesome thought and thoughts. That Your God, my God, knows You. He knows me inside and out. He watched us being formed. He knew us before we were even thought about. Before we were conceived, He knew us. And then He watched us being formed. And He breathed life into us. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. He knows where we are. He knows when we get up. He knows when we sit down. He knows before we're going to get up, before we know we're going to get up, and before we know. He knows every single thing about us, and He loves us. He is love. He is a God of love. He loves. He loves us like no one else loves us. In Jeremiah 31:3, He tells us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you to myself. Jesus spoke in John 15:9. He said, as the Father loved me. And you stop and think about that. God the Son is saying, as God the Father has loved me, that's how I've loved you. I love you the same way that God loves me. That is amazing. And then in John 15:4, Jesus said, I want you to be at home with me. He said, abide in me and I in you. I want this relationship to be so close. This is not an acquaintance. This is intimacy. This is friendship. This is something close. I want you to come live with me and sit with me and talk with me. It's all relationship. And time alone with him is foundational to our Christian lives. It's of vital importance to our Christian lives. He is the source, and that time alone with him, we are communing with him and gaining everything that we need to go about our day. And that time with him is a time that we get to know one another. Now, he already knows us, but he wants us to tell him anyway what we're thinking and how we're feeling and what we want to do and what we just did that we shouldn't do and all of those things. He wants conversation with us, just as you and a friend sit down. That's the kind of relationship that he wants. And when we get to know another person, we spend time with them. Because if we don't spend time with them, we are not going to get to know them. It's going to be really hard. You know, we can't know everybody intimately. We know that. But there are people that I have known since we have been in Modesto, so over 30 years. I know them, but I don't know them intimately. I don't know a whole lot about them because we haven't spent time together. But the people that I've spent time with, I know, and sometimes I know what they're thinking before they even know what they're thinking. And they know what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling. And when I said what I just said, they know I didn't really mean it. I meant this, or, you know, all of that. And I know you have people like that in your own lives. So when we want to get to know somebody, we spend time with them and we listen to them. And we want to know their past. We want to know their thoughts. We want to know their likes and their dislikes, so we can get to know the whole person. And that's what time alone with God, with our Lord, with Jesus, that's what that time is supposed to be. And it's not as common as it should be. That should be normal in Christianity. And so we want to start the year talking about that, so it becomes, if it's not normal to you, that it becomes normal to you. So it is a time where we are alone with him, and it's a time that we quiet our hearts and our minds before him. I don't know about you, and I don't know about your life, but I don't have a real quiet life. It's a very busy life. There is a lot going on, and a lot of really hard things going on that make my mind just start doing this. So I have to really work hard at quieting my mind and quieting my heart. And I can take a bubble bath, and I can get a massage, and I can do all those things, but until I sit with the Lord, it doesn't really happen. But when I sit with the Lord, it's a time where my mind and my heart quiets down. It's just like crawling, when you're a little girl and you crawl up on your mom or your dad or whoever you loved and took care of you, your lap, and they just stroked your hair and said, "It's okay, just calm down." And that just reminds me, my niece, she has a 2-year-old, so my great niece, and she's a very, very good girl, but she was having some kind of an attack, you know, how 2-year-olds do, and she wanted something, and she's crying. Her mom just said, "Olive, take a deep breath," and she went, and she was fine. But boy, that was simple. But, you know, it's like the Lord just saying sometimes, just come sit down with me and take a deep breath. But it's that time set aside to worship him, to praise him, to talk to him, to pour our hearts out to him. And it's a time that we learn about him. We learn about him from his word, and we learn about him from his heart, and as he speaks to us through his word and through that still quiet voice. And we learn his heart and his mind, reading, meditating on his word, and then being quiet and allowing him to speak to us, which a lot of us are missing because we're too rushed and we're too busy. But it's that time alone with God is that you're developing your relationship with him. Just like time alone with your friend or time alone with your husband, you are developing that relationship. You are cultivating a relationship. And our time with Jesus, with the Lord, whatever, however you refer to him, is precious to him. We forget that. He happens to like you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. You know, I don't know about you, but when you have somebody that wants to spend time with you, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? That somebody actually likes you and wants to spend some time with you. Well, the creator of the universe, your Savior, wants to spend time with you. And it's a time, and it's precious to him so that he can speak to our hearts without distraction. He's with us all the time, so we're spending time with him all the time, but that alone time or that quiet time or the devotional time, whatever term you put on it, I call it my quiet time, that it's without distraction so he can soften our hearts. And then our relationship deepens because we have time alone with him. Bible study, just studying the Bible, which is a wonderful thing to do, and we need to do that, but Bible study alone can't do that. You can't do that. And intercession alone, just that prayer time and interceding for other people alone with him, it can't do that. It can't substitute just that quiet time alone with him. Somebody's phone's going off. I don't know if you, maybe sometimes you don't hear it. You're so used to it, you don't hear it. But just, oh, you heard it. Okay. Listening to podcasts or teachings, which is a wonderful thing to do. We've got to do all these things, but that alone, we can't count that as a quiet time with him because our heart's not quiet. We're listening. We're engaged. Our mind's being stimulated. It's not that quiet time. And even worshiping with worship music on alone won't do that. We need that one-on-one time with him. It's in the quietness alone that brings us into intimacy. And maybe that word intimacy bothers some people. It can be because we always think of sexual. But obviously I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about true intimacy, a closeness, a deep relationship. There's a I can never say that word. You know what I'm saying. You're familiar with one another. It's a friendship. It's even an attachment. It's a companionship. And it is an affection. That is intimacy. And that is our God, what he wants with us. And that is absolutely amazing that we can have that with him. There's a couple of examples. One is that of King David. If you turn to Psalm 63, as you know, his relationship with the Lord was very intimate, and we know that because he wrote most of the Psalms and pours his heart out and talks about how much he loves the Lord and what the Lord has done for him. So you know they have a very close relationship. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, and your right hand upholds me. In my old Bible, as I was reading through it and reading that psalm, I had a note in there, and I just want to read that note to you that I think it was like in the early 90s that I wrote. The Lord was the deep stream of David's life. Though family and friends betrayed him, he did not lose his relationship with the Lord. He has that deep stream of relationship with the Lord to enjoy, no matter what. It was deep. How could he have gotten through all that he had gotten through unless he had a deep relationship with the Lord? And from this, he said, early will I seek you. We see that it's early. It's first thing. It's a priority. That's what I do. I'm going to seek you early. I want that time with you. He said, my soul thirsts. My flesh longs. There's passion in there. There's desire. There's strong desire in them, in him. Like in a dry and thirsty land. I'm like that. I'm like in a desert without you. That's how much I'm craving you, relationship with you, and that time with you. That's supposed to be normal in our lives. And then he said, so I've looked for you in the sanctuary. I've looked for you. And for us to look for the Lord, we find that quiet spot, somewhere to meet with the Lord day after day. And then he goes on and worships him. It's a beautiful picture of David's heart and David's relationship with the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, if you flip over there, in this chapter, it speaks of the Messiah, Jesus, and it speaks of his devotional life in verse 4. The Lord God has given me, Jesus, the Messiah, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. So morning by morning, consistency, day after day, after day after day, morning by morning by morning by morning, I have communion with God. This is Jesus having communion with his Father. And then he gains a sensitivity to God's voice in the morning because he awakens him, awakens his ear. I want to speak to you and I want to tell you the instructions for the day, what I want you to do, what I want you to say, how I want you to say it, and when I want you to say it. In the Gospels, we see Jesus taking time to be alone with the Father, with God. Luke 5:16, he, speaking of Jesus himself, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So that's a purposeful thing. He is withdrawing from everything and everyone else to be alone with God, to seek him. Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. He's alone, and there he prayed, alone with God, seeking the Father. And it has been said many times, and it's worth saying again, if Jesus took the time to be alone with the Father, to seek him for plans, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And communion and worship and prayer with him, how much more do we need to do the same thing? He's our example. Now, a lot of times when we hear messages on our quiet time, it can make some of us feel a little uncomfortable because we don't have a quiet time or we don't have a consistent quiet time. So it can make us feel a little uncomfortable and, okay, now here comes the condemnation. You might already be, I'm not pouring it on you, but you may be doing that to yourself because there could be some guilt. Hopefully it's conviction from the Lord, but because it's not my intent or God's at all to have any kind of guilt or to make you feel horrible convicted, absolutely. And that's a good thing, to be convicted. This is meant to be an encouragement for us, a reminder for some of us, an encouragement for some of us, an exhortation for some of us, a kick in the rear for some of us. I mean, whatever it takes, right? It was very encouraging for me to go back over this and put this, you know, listen to the Lord and put this together, because, I mean, it does something in my heart that's really good, and I'm hoping that that same thing happens to you. So most of us, we already know that we're supposed to have this quiet time with the Lord, but we just don't do it for whatever reason, which we'll talk about. Or we know we're supposed to, and we do, but we don't give it as much time as we should, and we know that. That's called a pitfall. Okay, so there's pitfalls in this neglecting the source or just not having a quiet time. Okay, so there's pitfalls to that. We want to talk about that. They are common to all of us. So even if a woman in here is the most godly, spiritual, wonderful woman you've ever met, who's walked with the Lord 500 years, these are common to her too. They are. She's had, you know, we all have to struggle, and but you get out of it. You move forward. You move forward. I did not always have a consistent quiet time. I neglected the source. I know I did. And even when I did, when I was even a brand new Christian, and I've been a Christian for 38 years or something, I still knew that that's what I was doing, although I just, you know, I felt bad about it, and I made excuses for it. And then I came to fully understand how important a quiet time with the Lord is. I didn't quite get it. And I think that if we don't get it, it's real easy to neglect. It's real easy to have just go or rush through. So you got to get it. But for me, I mean, I knew intellectually, but I didn't know in my heart or experientially until I went through a lot of really hard things, because that's how I learn. And then I got it. I just read something that was talking about how God grows us one step at a time. And it said, why does it take so long for us to change and for us to grow? I mean, you come to know the Lord, you want to go from, you know, preschool all the way up and get your PhD, you know? Come on, God can do that, but he doesn't do that. It takes time. So why does it take time? So he said, well, there's several reasons. We are slow learners. Yeah. He said, we often have to relearn a lesson 40 to 50 times until we really get it. Yeah, that's about right. Right? I mean, how often do we get it the first time? Oh, not very. We have to unlearn a lot. Bad habits, which did not develop overnight, so a new good habit isn't going to develop overnight. It's going to take time. Growth can be very painful. Most of the time, it is painful. I don't know how many of you, when you were a kid, if you had growing pains, my Achilles killed me. We have a tall family, and we grew fast, so I was this tall in eighth grade. And so my Achilles tendon, oh, just if you touched it, it killed me. You know, you're growing so fast. But it hurts. So growing is painful and scary, so then we don't want to do it, so we put the brakes on. So I've not gained perfection in my quiet time at all, but I have grown. Boy, have I grown, and I'm really thankful and happy about that. It's become the most important thing that I do every single day. It's always been the most important thing I do. I just didn't know it. Now I know it. It is the most important thing I do each day. And not only that, it happens to be the most pleasurable thing I do every day. And you know what? Nobody can take that away. Even if you locked me up, you can't take that away. It's me and the Lord. And I love that. For me, it's where I gain perspective and calmness in my heart, in my mind, in my life to go forward for the day. So let's talk about some of these potential pitfalls. There's quite a few. We're not going to talk about all of them, and I'm just going to kind of whiz through them. But jot them down if you take notes. These are great things that you can talk about when you meet with your group or you meet with friends for coffee, too. One of them, and these are not in any particular order, one of them is simply a lack of desire. And I think, because it was in me, that it comes from ignorance on what a quiet time is or who it's about. You know, I didn't have a strong desire to have a quiet time. I knew I was supposed to have a quiet time, but I didn't have like a real strong desire to have a quiet time. Like I have a strong desire to have peach cobbler this time of year. Every time I see a peach, I want to make a cobbler and with the vanilla bean ice cream. I mean, that's a big, strong desire. And I didn't have that for my quiet time. You know, I knew I was supposed to, but I didn't. So I think that lack of desire comes from the ignorance of what quiet time is about, who it's for, and what it produces in our lives. Perhaps that's you. Maybe tonight you're going to get it. The light's going to go on, and you're going to go, okay, well, that's it. Another one is time pressures. This society is just ridiculous in how time has gone. It goes by so fast, and there's so much crammed in. You know, it's a whole different world than when I grew up, or even when my girls grew up. Right now, we have so many options and so many demands and so many pulls on our lives, but there's still 24 hours in a day. And we still have given the same time allotment, 24 hours. You've got to sleep some, and you have to work, and you have to do all those things, but there's still time for quiet time, even when we think we don't have time for that. So we've all felt the pressure of, I have so many things to do, and I don't have any time to do what I need to do. So squeezing in quiet time puts pressure on that time, and it's not going to be fruitful or fruitful enough. Sometimes that time pressure can be because we don't manage our time very well. We have very poor planning. And have somebody help you with time management. First, talk to the Lord and how you can do that. But, you know, find a friend. Talk about it in your group. How do you do it? This is what my life consists of. Tell me what to do. You know, sometimes I feel like that. Just you schedule my day and give it to me. You know, and then we can do this. So, but even if you're a poor planner and unorganized, you can grow. You can grow in that. You can sit in it, but it's not healthy. And it's an excuse. We've got to keep growing no matter what our weaknesses are. When our quiet time is a priority, we will work around that. There will be time for it because something else will go. Because that something else doesn't match the importance of this. So ask the Lord to show you what is out of whack in my time management and help me. So another pitfall, distractions and the tyranny of the urgent, letting those urgent things take time from the important. And those distractions, a lot of times, and you know, the best time of day, obviously, to have a quiet time is the first thing in the morning. Because your day's beginning. If you have a quiet time at the end of the day, I don't know where your power and strength and wisdom and direction came from because you already had your day. Unless you stored it up and said, keep it in there while I sleep. And then, you know, I don't know. You got to do what you got to do. But the best time is the morning. It just is. So the first distraction would probably be lack of sleep, sleepiness. You get, you know, some people are not morning people, and it's really hard for them to wake up and get their brain going. But you know what? You got to do it. You got to do what you got to do to wake up. Lord, what have I got to do? Help me wake up. If I have to have my quiet time marching around the living room so I don't fall asleep, then march around the living room so you don't fall asleep. You know, I mean, you honestly, you have to do what you have to do. Sometimes we allow our minds to drift. Some people can't, they really have a problem. They're ADD or they're whatever. They eat too much sugar, too much caffeine, or whatever it might be. And that's a whole different issue that maybe they need to help get help on. But it, all of our minds get distracted and drift, or we zone. I mean, some people either zone or they ping. Ping, 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 you know, kind of a thing. The distractions of seeing what needs to be done. I mean, that's a woman's world, you know? It's like you sit down to have your quiet time and, oh, I need to fold that. I need to do that. Oh, I got to get up and do the laundry. I got to do that. And when I go do the laundry, then I'm going to find this to do, and then I'm going to find that to do. Now it's too late to have my quiet time. Those are distractions. Those are pitfalls. You're not a victim. You can overcome this. You can conquer this because God wants you to. Another big distraction is that telephone, that little phone that you keep in your purse, in your pocket, in your palm all the time. Answering texts, emails, phone calls, being on social media. Why would anybody want to go on social media before they've had their quiet time? Perhaps that's the problem on there. When you read some things that people write, it's like, well, I think you need a quiet time. But, I mean, sometimes my phone doesn't stop. It doesn't stop texting. It's not texting. People are texting. But I don't, why do I answer that ping, woohoo, or whatever it might be? I mean, that's my choice. So do whatever we have to do to get turn that off or put it away. Little children, now you can't turn them off and put them away very easily. It's very hard when you have little kids. You know, when you have a new baby, you think that's hard until they become a toddler. Then you wish they were a little baby because you had so much time. You know, that kind of a thing. But it is doable. It is. Talk to another mom. Get some help. Get some ideas. Another pitfall is that you wake up and you're feeling spiritual. I mean, you're feeling really good. You don't have any trials in your life. I mean, let's go. Why do I need a quiet time? And I go out in my own strength for the day. So, obviously, make sleep a priority. Read, pray out loud so your mind is focused. I have to do that at times. I have to pray like this sometimes so I will hear myself. And I'm not sleepy. That's not my problem. My brain's going like that. Say no to the things that tend to pull you away. I know what time to put a load of laundry in. It's because I have a time, because then when it's time, then I can get up and do this thing and come back. Okay? So if I don't time that right, then I'm thinking about my laundry. It's ridiculous, but that's a distraction. It's a pitfall, and I can let myself get sucked into that. Put your phone out of reach, turn it off, whatever. When your kids are small, I had my quiet time during their nap time. I wanted it in the morning. I tried to have it in the morning. It didn't work. So with their nap time, which wasn't a very long time, but I chose not to do all the other things I wanted to do when they had a nap. And I know as a mom, there's plenty of things to do, but you, what's the best time of day for your kids? When are they the calmest and the quietest? Then teach them to have their own quiet time, their own, you know, get some ideas from other moms. Don't go in yesterday's strength. Another pitfall is a lack of discipline, which comes inconsistency in our quiet time. And as a new Christian, I went in spurts too, and I wasn't consistent. And I kind of had a, my progression was, first I want a quiet time because that's the thing to do, and I'm so excited, and I'm going to, you know, I came home from my first ladies study when I learned about it, and oh, this is so exciting, I want to do this, and I want God to speak to me and all that, and that was fun. And then after a while, it wasn't, because I didn't really know what I was doing, and I wasn't hearing anything, and I'm reading the same thing over and over again, and my mind, you know, I'm struggling. So then it became more of a duty. Okay, she said I'm supposed to have a quiet time, so I'm going to have a quiet time. So it's a duty kind of a thing. How do you think the Lord felt about that? You know, He's God, He can handle it, but you know, really, it was just like, I really don't want to spend time with you, but I'm going to anyway. I mean, if, you know, if that was a person, I didn't see my need yet, and I certainly didn't understand that He wanted quiet time with me at all. He was still too distant for me until I grew and was getting to know Him. But even when I was young, and even before I was a Christian, I always had this belief that if you really want to do something, you can find time to do it, and you can make yourself do it. So I said to myself, if you really believe that, then what is that saying about you, talking to myself, what is that saying about you if you are not finding the time to do it? What is that saying? Well, I know what that's saying about me, and I don't like that it's saying that about me. So I need to change my heart, and I need to go ahead and do this anyway and discipline myself and have this quiet time, whether I felt like it or not, or whether it seemed dry, or whether God seemed so far away. God's word doesn't return void. I know that. I believe that. It's in the Bible. It tells me that. So I'm going to read it anyway, even if I don't think I'm getting anything out of it. I'm going to read it anyway because He said, doesn't return void. So, doesn't return void. It's going in there somewhere, and it's going to come out sometime when I don't know. But I'm going to do it anyway. And then, as I said, you know, through the trials and the hard things of life, you know, you have a change of hearts. And then it really didn't take discipline anymore. It was that I need oxygen to breathe. I need quiet time just as much. I need water to keep me hydrated and alive. I need my quiet time just as much. I need food to nourish my body. And I need quiet time just as much to keep me alive spiritually, to keep my mind sane, to keep me on a steady path, to help me see people and see this world the way that He sees it. And so it became a need for me. I have to do this or you're not going to like me, because I'm not going to be a nice person. I will be much not, I mean, I would tell my girls, I need to go be with Jesus or I'm going to be a mean mommy. So you let me have my 5 minutes or whatever they would give me. But it did. It became, I need this. And then after that, it becomes, oh, I want this. Of course, I still need it, but I want this. I love this. Another pitfall is that, okay, that song just popped into my mind, You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling. You know, that little lukewarm that left your first love. And you know what? It happens. All of these things are common. Doesn't matter who we are, you can be drifting into lukewarmness in your relationship with the Lord, even though nobody knows it, because you're still singing on the worship team. You're still teaching Sunday school. You're still, you know, doing whatever service there is to do. And yet, that flame has gone down. The fire's burning out. My love is growing cold. Jesus said to the church of Ephesus, I have this against you, that you have left your first love, which was me. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. It's a pitfall to fall into that. And maybe Jesus is speaking. You've left your first love. What happened? You used to be so in love with me. What happened? If we are not moving ahead, moving forward in our relationships with the Lord and growing, then we are slipping backwards because He keeps moving. He keeps moving. So we need to go back and do. What was it that I was doing when I was on fire for the Lord, when I loved Him, when I loved that quiet time, when I loved that worship and praise and reading His word and all that? What was going on? How can I get back there? And then just start doing it, whether your feelings are there or not. You just start doing it. Saturate your mind with the word. Praise Him. Turn on praise music all the time and just see if that doesn't fan that flame in your heart, and then the fire starts blazing. Another pitfall is boredom. You're too familiar. You've been doing this a long time. You're in a rut now. Okay, I'm getting up, I get this, I read my Bible, I pray, I do my thing, and then it's kind of routine. It's just, you're bored. You've read the Bible through from cover to cover a few times. Now you don't know, what am I supposed to read? I don't know what to read. Okay, throw it up in the air. Okay, I'm supposed to read that today, you know? There are a lot of Bible helps in reading. There's a lot of The Daily Bread has a reading program. Just depends on what you like and how it makes sense to you, whether you want to go in order or not or what. But there are helps out there. Yearly Bibles that you read through. It's an actual Bible, but it's laid out and telling you how to read the Bible through for the year. Do that. It's not impossible. It's more than possible to read the Bible through every year. I've read through many, many times, and one year, it's probably 15, 16 years ago, I decided, okay, because I was in one of those ruts, okay, I've got to do something here. So I started reading it in chronological order, which for my brain really helped because I like order. And it was just like everything now exploded, and everything's like brand new, and it was wonderful. And I've done that every year. But then I started doing it in different translations. So then every year I'll pick a different translation and read through that, not necessarily in chronological, but kind of. And yes, I will confess to you that I do skip the book of Job. I don't read the book of Job every year because it's too depressing and I can't. So I read that through the New Living Translation. It's much easier to read. But then many times I'll get through and it's August and I've already read through the Bible. So I'm going to read through the New Testament again. And then I'm going to read again and again. And now I'm going to get this translation. It doesn't matter how much you read. And so I've started to slow it down, putting the brakes on purposely. Don't read the book of Ephesians all at once. You're going to read one chapter really slow. You got to mix it up. If you pray first and then you read tomorrow, read and then pray. Or just, kind of mix it up. Ask a friend which devotional book is really ministering to them right now, or what book are you reading and what translation or whatever. Start journaling, doing something to mix up so your quiet time isn't in a rut. It's not too that familiar that you're blah. And lastly, failure to recognize and hold on to the truth that this is a relationship with a person is the biggest pitfall. I have to remember, I am talking to a person here. This is my God. This is my creator. This is my savior. This is my deliverer, my redeemer, my master, my ruler, my friend, my lover, my husband, my companion. He is everything to me. Having a quiet time is not a rule. It's not a religion. It's Christianity. It's a relationship with Him. So how do you get back if you've gotten off, or how do you get started? Well, if you haven't started, you got to rekindle that flame, and you fall in love with Jesus again. So what happened at first? Or if you've never fallen in love with him, get to know him. Read the Gospel of John. We tell new believers all the time, read the Gospel of John. Tell yourself, hey, I'm going to read the Gospel of John again. I'm going to grab another translation or read your same translation, because I see Jesus in the Gospel of John, because it's full of him. It is full of the things he did, the things he said, and then those chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, I have read over and over and over again, because they're just so full, and he's speaking to me, and I'm getting to know him more. So read the Gospel of John. Read the first three chapters of Ephesians over and over and over again. Read the first three. Then tomorrow, read them. The next day, read them in another translation. And the next day, read them in another. See what your God has done for you. And that will rekindle the flame, or it'll really get it started if you've never had that. You know, you want to spend time with that person that you love and that you once loved, or you want to get to know, because you that first love, you go back. If you have a good marriage, or if you had a good start to your marriage, you go back and you remember those times. I remember when I met Damien, and you know, I mean, all I wanted to do was be with him. I didn't want to be with anybody else. Forget everybody else. I just want to be with you. I want to know about you. Tell me about your childhood. Tell me what you're thinking. What are your favorites? What do you like? What do you don't like? You listen. Oh, he said he didn't like that. Okay, I won't do that. Or I'll make this. Or, you know, all those things, because you love them and you want to please them. It's the same thing with the Lord. Now, Damien and I have been married for 42 years. We happen to have a very good marriage. It's continued to grow, and we have fun together. But we could be married 42 years, and if I had only gave him a little bit of my time, or I wasn't consistent with my time, we could still be married. We could be fine. But it wouldn't be great. It wouldn't be wonderful. It wouldn't be intimate. But you can do it. In fact, there are a lot of marriages like that, because that's what, you know, something goes wrong. But that's how our relationship with the Lord is. You can be a Christian for 42 years, 50 years, and you're going to heaven, and it's great. But where's that? Where's the intimacy? So you get that first love. Make time. Don't wait for the time. It's not going to happen. It'll get stolen. Block time out without exception. I can't remember who said this, but it was one of those old preachers, and he would, if he had house guests or company that would drop by, and he was a pastor, so they would have visitations and things like that. At a certain time every night, he would excuse himself, and he would say, "I have an early morning appointment, excuse me." Because he knew he had to get to bed, because he probably got up at 4 a.m. or something like that. But he knew, and he did that because it was a priority to him. And I often remember that, because it keeps me from staying up too late and getting sleepy, because I know I have to be out of the house at a certain time, so I can't sleep in. I want to sleep in, but I can't sleep in. So I got to go to bed earlier, you know? So I have an early morning appointment. Make that time. If we prioritize our life in that, that's the first priority, the top tip top, it will prioritize our day and the rest of our life. Be disciplined. Try. Do it anyway, even if you don't want to. Duty will turn into the need, and then that need into love, into the I really want to. If you need help with that, have a friend call you at 6 or 7 or whatever time you need to get up, or every time you need to sit down and have your quiet time. You know, people will be glad to help you out, not forever, but to get you started and to remind you, hey, did you sit with Jesus this morning? Or hey, stop what you're doing, turn your phone off, why are you answering me? You're supposed to be having your quiet time. There's a few people I'm saying, QT, bye. You know, I'm having my quiet time. Years ago, I found out this truth. You probably already know this, but do you know what happens when you drink a lot of water? Now, way back when, people didn't drink water. You didn't see people walking around with water bottles and things like that. I suppose we drink water at home. I don't know. But people drink more water now because they've realized it's good for our bodies, right? So when you drink a lot of water, if you're one of those people that drink a lot of water, and I wasn't, and somebody told me this, so I started drinking water. Then I realized that when I didn't have my water, I was so thirsty, I needed the water. At 10 in the morning, I mean, I have water with me all the time now. If I'm going on a 20-minute drive, I've got to bring my water. I can't wait till I get there. I have to have my water because I get thirsty, because my body needs that. But do you know what happens if you don't drink water? You're not thirsty. I know people, and I'm with them all day long, and they haven't drank a thing. Aren't you thirsty? No, I'm not thirsty. Okay. I mean, can you imagine what's going on with their kidneys? I mean, this is just not good. But it's the same thing with our quiet time. You get used to having a quiet time. Guess what? You have to have your quiet time. But if you're not used to having your quiet time and you miss your quiet time, oh well. So it's been 3 days, 4 days, a week, 2 weeks. I don't know. I get my quiet time on Sunday mornings. I don't know. You start doing it, your spiritual self is going to need that. So find a nice spot for your quiet time. Find a spot you've got a purpose, you've got a place, you've got a destination. That's where your appointment. You have to show up for your appointment in your home. Some women, aesthetics is not an issue. They can have their quiet time anywhere. It doesn't matter. Then there are some of us that we need a nice quiet spot because it's somewhere we want to go. It's pleasant for us to look at. And so we're going to feel more comfortable. We're going to stay longer in a nice, pleasant spot. So if that's you, then go where it's pleasant or make a pleasant spot. I mean, even if you have to put a little pink tent up in your living room or whatever, I don't know. You got to do what you got to do. If a cozy blanket makes you feel good and you're having a quiet time, get your cozy blanket and your fuzzy slippers or your favorite coffee mug or your teacup or a candle or spritz the air or flowers or soft music, whatever your thing is. If you create that environment, you're going to want to walk into that environment, and you're going to want to stay there. It's going to be that a special place. You know that smells have memory, so you smell something. You go, oh, that takes me back to this, or you know what happens to you when you smell chocolate chip cookies, you know, or whatever it might be. So don't eat chocolate chip cookies in the morning, please. But light a candle or citrus or floral or whatever it is. Get a pretty pen. Get a pretty journal. Something that you like that's going to say, oh, I want to get up and pick up that pretty journal and that pretty pen and put on those slippers. Or what, you know, I don't know. Maybe you think I'm nuts, but I mean, the older I'm getting, I need my little spot, you know. I've always had a spot. I'm thinking about changing my spot. I've got to really think this through, but because otherwise it'll be distracting. Take with you your Bible. You always have your Bible, you know, that one that you use to read. But then you have your others, have your other translations. Or if you use your iPad, which I use, have all my other translations on my iPad, and I have my old Bible with me. You know, have it with your spot so you don't have to go find it and waste time and get distracted. A journal, a notepad, your devotional books. You know, get a cute little basket and put all your stuff in there. I don't know, you creative ones, why am I telling you that? You're already creative and you're already doing that. You need to help the others in your group. You're going to be taught, you'll talk about that. So your quiet time is going to consist of, and not in this order, but you're going to read the Word. Where do I read? Well, you're going to get a daily bread. You're going to get a yearly Bible, or you're going to start in the book of John. You're going to have your discussion leader help you get a Bible reading program or something. Somebody's going to help you if you don't know what to read. And you're going to read, and you're going to worship. You can sing a song by yourself. You can turn the music on, whatever you want to, however you want to do that, and worshiping Him. Talk to Him, which is called prayer. Just talk to Him. Talk to Him about yourself and what's going on and what's going on in your day. And then intercede. And that's when we start praying for other people. And then, most importantly, take time to listen. Just be quiet. Just sit and say, "Oh Lord, I have talked your ear off. Will you speak to me?" And then listen to Him. As you read, He speaks, because it's a conversation. He's already talking to you through His Word, because these are His words. And so it's conversation. So when you read, you can try, you just say, "Wow, Lord, you know," of course I pick verses, right? I have flipped to verses that you can't do that with. "Let not your heart be troubled, and you believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions." Wow, Lord, you don't want my heart to be troubled. "You have prepared a place for me." And if those are the only two verses you get through, what a wonderful thought for the rest of the day. You get out your journal and you write down what He speaks to you. That's communion. That's a quiet time. That's relationship. That's how you deepen that with Him. So write it all down. What did He say to you? How did it minister to you? What verse jumped out of the page? You know, a lot of times I will read and, you know, okay, and then I'll put that down, and then I'll go pick up something else, and I'm thinking about that. And so then I get that back out. I'm like, okay, what do you want? You're speaking to me. I missed it. So what are you speaking to me? Then I get my journal out, and I just start writing the verse or the quote out of a devotion or something, and then it goes. You know, then He speaks. I love that. How long does your quiet time need to be? Well, there's no limit. There's no time limit. Okay, now I know there's a lot of, I just said 5 minutes, two verses. That's not a rule. There's all these 5-minute devotions out now, which are fine to begin with. But if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, that's not enough. It's just not enough. We're all in different seasons of life. You know, so some have more time than others. Some got to get up, get the kids and their days going. Others got to get up, get to work. Others have more time. So there is no time limit, but a good way to gauge it is that you stay long enough with Him. You sit long enough with Him for Him to speak to you. And however long that takes, if you have the time, then you stay there until you get something from Him for the day. Long enough to take some gem, some thought, something that you're supposed to do, something that you're supposed to apply to your life or give to somebody else that day. I love that. And I will say that doesn't happen every day. It happens most days for me, but not every day. There are days where I'm reading, and I have a few devotionals that I read, and I read those, and I read the Word, and I have my prayer time, and I say, okay, all right, well, I'm let's go, and we go, because the time, you know, I've already been there a while. Won't tell you how long I am, but I spend longer than I used to, and I have the time. I love it. So what happens if I'm rushed one day or I miss a day? And I'm only saying this to people who have then now grown into a consistent quiet time. So this isn't for anybody else that doesn't have one or is inconsistent, because this is not a free pass. So those who have had, they have a consistent quiet time, and maybe they don't love it, but maybe it's still a duty, but whatever, you know, you're consistent, and you have to miss a day, or it's rushed. Let me just say this. God has a lot of grace. Okay? He has a lot of grace. There's guilt. There's you know, you want to beat yourself up. Maybe you don't, but some of us do. But he knows. He already understands. He already knew what was going to happen. He already knew about the phone call that you got while you're having your quiet time that's going to change your entire day. He already knew that. So there's grace for that. He knows the desire of your heart. He knows the days where you're like, oh, I gotta get up and I don't want to get up. I love this, but I gotta, you know. He knows that, and that means more than the time sometimes. I remember when our oldest daughter had her twins. She had identical twins, and our youngest had the three-week-old. And so it was very busy in our family at that time. And my daughter needed help. She needed a lot of help with the twins. And so I spent the first night and realized I am not going to be able to go home for a while. So 6 weeks I stayed there and helped. Exhausted with twins. And very thankful I was a very young grandmother, because there's no way I could do that today. But I remember being on the couch with my Bible and a baby or two babies so she could sleep, trying to have some kind of quiet time, feeling terrible that I couldn't be alone with the Lord, and having a jumble brain head, you know, because you can't even think. But you know, he knows, and he gave me the grace and gave me what I needed for that time. There are times where you're on vacation and things are rushed, or you just don't quite get that time that you want. There are times when you have house guests. You know, the Lord knows that. I'm in a season right now where both parents have dementia. And my dad's was diagnosed 3 years ago. My mom has just been very rapid since February. Very rapid. So I'm caring for them. And so every day there's something. And so, in fact, you know, of course, I'm putting together this message on the consistency of quiet time and everything. It has been very chaotic. And this morning yesterday it started, and it just really bad. So really hard decisions and hard, very emotional. And so I just sat down for my quiet time this morning, you know, and it was like, oh no, oh no. I mean, it was a very hard morning. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I didn't even get to pray. I mean, I read one devotion. I didn't even get to pray. I didn't get to read your word. I'm going to read one verse, and I'm going to take it with me, and I'm praying while I'm getting ready, because I got to go over there. And I was over there until I left to come here. He knows. He has the grace. He has the grace, and he does have it for you. And he knows when it's dry for you. He knows. Some of the blessings, and I'm going to go really quick, of our quiet time is a quiet heart to start the day, a right heart. Sets a right path for the day, morning by morning, so we know what to say, how to say it, when to say it, who to say it to. We gain perspective. We have confidence about the day, which I did today because of his empowerment. He filled me. God, fill me. I need your Holy Spirit. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what decisions to make. I just want to cry right now, and I can't because I don't have time. I have to go and deal with this. And he does, and it's a huge blessing. And you have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that you would not have if you didn't have that time with him. It strengthens us. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. The word washes us. It cleanses us. We start the day with new mercies and forgiveness. Having that quiet time, we're actually building a wall of protection around our hearts and our minds so that it is going to be harder to fall into a pitfall or to get pulled in or to be tempted. You don't have a quiet time, you're open game. Open game. All those pitfalls, you're going to be climbing out of them or trying to climb out of them all the time, but it's a blessing when we have those because we're protected. Quiet time is supposed to be the most precious time of the day. It's precious to the Lord. It pleases Him. If we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. So as we go out this year, may each of us grow in our relationship with the Lord in that. May this just be that breakthrough that we needed, or that reminder, or that fanning of the flame, stirring of our hearts, that reminder to us all. Father, thank You that You want to have relationship with us. Thank You that You, when we draw near to You, You draw near to us, and it's You who is drawing us to You. Thank You for the privilege, the blessing of that time alone with You, and I pray that You would help each one of these women in this room draw closer to You. Show them great and mighty things. Speak to their hearts. Help them to know what You're speaking to them, and bless them. And Lord, would You bless them in their groups this year? Knit their hearts together, and may it be a fruitful year for all of us. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And after we close in a song, if you want to meet with your group quickly, they're just, group leaders are kind of just going to be spread out, and you can just kind of go over and say hi, see who's in your group. You don't have to. If you have to scoot, that's okay. If you don't have a group, you can quickly go out and get one, and then you can meet your group leader. Okay?